Welcome to the Marketing That Generates podcast, hosted by yours truly, Lauren Powell. For over a decade, I've partnered with business owners around the globe to create and implement their digital marketing strategy. Working together with their teams, we generate more leads, more customers, and more revenue. I'm here to make your business growth simpler by making online marketing simpler. Every week, I'll be interviewing other business owners about the strategies that are keeping their marketing relevant in the long term, so they're not hammered by monthly algorithm adjustments. So are you ready to generate more leads, better leads, and more sales-ready leads online while making the most of your oh-so-valuable time? Then this is the podcast for you. Are you tired of being promised the magic pill that's going to solve all your online marketing challenges? Well, this podcast does not promise quick overnight fixes, nor a one-size-fits-all marketing formula. Instead, it will empower you to think differently and more strategically about your marketing so that you get better results. So whether you're a business owner, solopreneur, or an aspiring entrepreneur, listen in and subscribe for zero fluff and actionable takeaways. And for bonus resources, go to marketingthatgenerates.com. In our current podcast series, I interview the owners of four very different writing businesses, and we dive deep into their marketing. Today's episode is the second of that series, and I interview Justin Blackman, who's based in Georgia. Justin is an uber-gifted voice expert. His guides help personal and corporate brands scale up their content and copy teams while creating a consistent voice across all assets. In this episode, Justin walks through his business journey and what it took for him to realize that his copywriting superpower was voice. Don't forget to visit the show notes for this episode on marketingthatgenerates.com so that you can learn more about Justin's services and download his free voice guide. Welcome to today's episode. I am here with Justin Blackman, and he has written for more than 419 different people and managed to sound like every one of them. He uses an ultra-specific voice mirroring process called brand ventriloquism to analyze and replicate the nuances that make your writing unique and documents it so you can scale your content without sacrificing authenticity. Justin has created voice guides for industry experts such as Amy Porterfield, Stu McLaren, Bobby Klink, Danny Annie, and Melissa Griffin. And he also has a writing workshop called Write More Personality-er, where he shows you 57 fun ways to make your copy a little less Ross and a lot more Joey. All the people say Justin's pretty fly for a right guy. Justin, I'm so pumped to have you here, and it was really hard to say your intro with a straight face.
Well, you know what? It's super tough to say personality-er. Everyone always, I've had a lot of practice, and even I sound like I'm drunk when I say it.
Well, I mean, before I dive into the interview questions, I'll just say your bio is such a great example of voice in itself. There's so many great things in there that really connect me to your personality and I think really make you stand out. So yeah, I'll just say that. And then let's talk a little bit about your business and what you specialize in. So you specialize in brand voice guides and brand voice creation, and you work with some pretty heavy hitters, and I'll name drop to toot your horn for you, but 5-Hour Energy, Red Bull, Puma, Amy Porterfield, to name a few. So what exactly is brand voice for anyone who's listening that might not be familiar with the concept?
Sure. So I think it might help to clarify that I don't do typical branding. So I'm not talking about your colors, your fonts, your logo, your image treatments or anything like that. That is a highly specialized skill that I do not have. So what I focus on is essentially like that, but for your voice. So I try to put in the places and the guides. So when you speak, everything sounds like you across every channel, and all the copy sounds like it was written from one person, even when it wasn't. So that's how you sound on email versus how you sound on a sales page versus social versus when you're speaking. And as you grow, you'll find that you begin working with more and more copywriting experts that specialize in these individual nuances and these individual channels. So the copy can be written by a lot of different people. And without a voice guide maintaining all of the frameworks for you, then everything sounds a little disconnected and the audience can actually tell, and it sacrifices some of the authenticity when it seems like there's a disparate team that's working for you.
Beautiful. So it's almost like what a graphic designer does for brand guidelines, the colors, the typography, so that there's a consistent and cohesive look everywhere. But you do the same thing for writing.
That is exactly it. So there's an analogy that I can make that, you know, it's said that when Walt Disney was creating Snow White and Cinderella and all the original great classic Disney cartoons, he had such an exact science for the way that things would look and such a precise vision that it said that you could swap out any of the artists and the movie would still be exactly the same. And that's not to say that the artists aren't phenomenally talented, but his vision was so precise that, and everything was so clearly documented that everyone was always working off of the exact same page.
I love that. And I think when you're growing your team and you're bringing on new writers and you're bringing on someone to focus on something specific, the voice, even if the writer's done a stellar job, the voice can be that one piece at the end where you're like, oh, that's a little bit off. But it's hard for someone to pinpoint why it's off if they're not someone who specializes in voice.
Right. So yeah, with artists and illustrators, like you have that brand guide that says exactly how many pixels your logo should be next to somebody else's logo. With voice, it's so ambiguous. It's often so ambiguous that the writers put what they think is best. But that's not necessarily the same from writer to writer to writer. And without knowing where the brand stands, it starts to change and it starts to shift. And even two pieces that are going out at the same time might be doing it differently. And it could be even something as simple as, do you end bullet points with a period? And, you know, it sounds silly, but if somebody notices that it has like one bullet point does and the next bullet point doesn't on another email, it kind of sends up a little red flag that, wait a minute, this isn't by the same person. I don't even know who's talking anymore. And you lose that element of trust that's super important.
Totally. And I think there's even maybe some more obvious things like, do we ever curse or not with this brand voice? Or what words are appropriate for us to say? Or which ones do we never say? Because we don't, I don't know, maybe authenticity isn't a word that we ever use in the brand. So what I love about what you do is, not only do you cover those more obvious things, but you also cover those really tiny things like no period at the end of a bullet.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I got super granular. I probably should have started at it at a wider example. Like, you know, it's like we get playful, but it could be something like your GIFs, like, or even if you say GIF or JIF, we're not going to get into that because that'll be a big fight.
No.
But like, I am a Star Wars guy and I use a lot of Star Wars GIFs. I don't use Star Trek GIFs. So something like that. If somebody knows me and they see a Star Trek GIF, then it'd be like, wait, no, that might not be from him. That might be somebody trying to do Justin rather than Justin himself. And it could be cats versus dogs. And I know that sounds silly, but it's actually a big one, the cats versus dogs. And there's just a ton of little words that you could use. Like I type y'all. Y'll. But I'm also from New Jersey, so sometimes I say ollies. So, but I don't write that. So, like, someone might listen to a podcast and hear me say ollies, but I never write that because it just looks sloppy. So, it's like a writer might put that in if they heard me, but it would look really weird for me to actually type that. And again, small little nuances, but it's important. And the person whose content it is, if you're a personal brand, would know that. And they'd see that and be like, wait, no, that's not right. So it just makes the editing easier when all of this stuff is documented.
100%. And let's talk about that personal brand versus a non-personal brand. Do you feel like voice guides are important for both types of businesses?
Very, very much so. I've worked for corporate brands, and this is actually where my passion for voice guides came from. Because I had one that to the marketing department seemed like it was perfect. It had avatars, it had stylistic things about, you know, Oxford commas and all those elements. But what I found was the avatar was pretty generic. And what I found by looking at avatars across the industry is that it's really very common. And it might be something like, we write like your online business best friend. And that's fine. If I say that, you probably have someone very particular in mind. The fact is, I do too, and they're not the same person. So I would write like my online business best friend because that's exactly what the avatar described. But then you would see it and you'd be like, no, this isn't right at all. And I'd be like, what are you talking about? this is exactly the online business best friend. They're like, no, it's got to be more flowery or fun or, you know, different slang. So everyone can have an opinion about that and everyone can be right, which is a copywriter's nightmare. So I like to put really, really tight guidelines on exactly what that avatar is. And, you know, that's the words that they use. That's the level of vocabulary that they use. It's the emotions that are behind their writing. And those are even the rhythm and the cadence that they speak.
So presumably two things happen if you have a very clear voice guide. One, there's fewer revisions required, mm-hmm. I would presume.
Very much so.
And two, you're able to perhaps inject a little more personality and emotion into the copy in a way that's acceptable for the brand voice.
Yes. The fact is, everyone does have a brand voice. And some people are like, I'm boring. Well, that is your brand voice. And we can kind of figure out like what elements to heighten up to add in a little bit of personality that can make you stand out and make you even just separate you a little bit. Like, are you boring because you're analytical, because you're a teacher? Well, maybe we make you a better teacher. Or are you boring because you're so mathematical? Do we use a lot of numbers? Is that our strength? Well, maybe we play that up. And by actually honing in on the thing that you think is boring, that can actually become a standout piece to your voice. And when we put different frameworks around these with the vocabulary, the tone, and the cadence, the three elements, how we actually measure voice, we put a numerical marker on this where we can literally plot the voice on a graph and be sure that everything hovers around that plot point. So everything does maintain that consistency as you're building and growing and scaling your content.
That's incredible. And what I'm hearing, and I'm hoping our listeners are hearing, is there's a lot of science behind what you do. It's not just an art or your creative interpretation, if you will.
Yeah, that's the big difference that really brought me to the next level of being able to write for in all these different voices. Originally, when I was starting out, people would hire me because they liked my writing and they're like, oh, you're fun. I want to have more of your style in my writing. So I would write it the way that I wrote it. And then I'd give them the copy and they're like, this is great, but this doesn't sound like me and I can't use any of it. So that was really frustrating. So when I learned the process to measuring voice with the vocabulary, the tone, and the cadence, and literally putting numerical markers on this, I could measure my style and I knew where it sat on, like I would literally graph it. I'd put a plot point measuring the vocabulary and the cadence. When I saw how other people wrote, I plotted their voice. So I knew exactly what to change between my copy and theirs to get it to sound more like that.
That's brilliant. And I bet your clients are so thrilled with having that voice documented because it makes onboarding new writers easier. Who doesn't want fewer revisions, both from the writer's standpoint and who's ever reviewing it? I mean, I just think it's a really fabulous service for anyone who's scaling up their content and looking to take it to the next level.
Yeah, it's totally that thing. Like as we talked about before, with the brand guides for the designers, they know exactly what the PMS color, the Pantone codes. They know exactly what shade to use. They know exactly how far apart to space the logo, like to the pixel. Writers don't have that. This is their version of that. So there's less guessing. And there's more, the writer still can put in their spin and their talent and their style on things, but they know exactly how it should sound and how it should come out to still be on brand.
Love that. So let's say someone's looking to hire you for your services. What exactly are they hiring you for? Is it brand voice guide creation? Are you like, what does that look like, I guess?
The majority of my clients now are solo entrepreneurs. I also do work with a lot of small and medium-sized businesses as well, but a lot of them are solo entrepreneurs that have hit a point where they become the bottleneck in scaling content. They've typically written most of their own work and their own copy up till this point, but they're getting at a point where they can't do it all, or they realize that they can't write their copy as well as a sales page specialist can. And the review process or even just the creation process is too slow because of the amount of editing and proofing and sign-offs needed. So the voice guide comes and it really does all of those preliminary edits for you. and it gets you a an almost perfect draft from the first time you see it.
Who doesn't love an almost perfect draft? I've been on both sides of that coin in working with clients and their writers, and it is, man, painful for everyone when you're editing voice, because so much of the writer's work and all the strategic thought that goes into it, to be honest, gets kind of wrecked because the focus is more on the voice than what all the hard work they actually did, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you've been on the receiving end of that early on.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, someone decides they want to hire you, and we haven't yet had the pleasure of working together, although it's on my wish list. But we've chatted in depth about your clear and structured process, which I really appreciate. And I just like to ask, like, how key is your process to delivering that outcome in the voice guide that you create?
Well, voice is a tremendous concern. We say behind, or we've been told that behind price, voice is the number one concern of clients when they hire a copywriter. It's insanely important to them. It's personal. And, you know, most writers approach voice with a intuitive process, which is great up to a certain point. But being able to literally have an analysis and knowing how you change it per client and what to adapt and what to evolve, what to switch when you're writing from one client to another, and being able to explain that to a client is such a game changer. It instills confidence that the writer is going to be able to get it. And if they don't get it, they're going to know exactly what to change. So the feedback and the editing becomes remarkably easier. And just that process alone, being able to explain how you approach the copy, just gives the client so much relief that, like, okay, I'm working with a professional who truly does understand what they're doing.
100%. So if someone's listening, and you hinted at this a little bit earlier, but they're thinking, is my business ready for a brand voice guide? When would you suggest they seek out your services?
It depends on the client. If it's a solo brand or personal brand, I typically recommend that when they start becoming the bottleneck to the content, when they're slowing down the process. If you are a small or medium-sized business, I recommend doing it early. So as your content is being developed, even if it's placeholder content that's going to change over time, it still has that standard and the consistency across all of the channels. You can always change and evolve and adapt it. And that's part of the reason why my guides are actually a Google Doc. It's because they do grow and evolve. But by starting out, it makes sure that everything on the website, even like the title casing, the punctuation, all of that stuff is consistent. So it's really important to have that as you're growing a new business.
I think that's a very clear definition. And it really allows anyone who's listening, who's thinking, hey, am I ready or not, to decide, do they fit in one of those two buckets or not?
Yeah. And I've also got a couple of different versions of guides, my guides can get pretty pricey, but I realize that a lot of smaller brands that are just starting out, especially the personal brands, might want something that is more in line with best practices. Like, oh, we're not exactly sure what we should stand, how we should sound and what our copy should look like. So I do have one that's more of a templated best practices that shows you how to move forward. And you can always adapt it and evolve it as you go.
That's great. Because I, especially as a personal brand, or if you're a solopreneur, maybe you don't really think about your voice in any sort of strategic way. You just do it because you bang out the copy and you're the one who knows how to do it best. But, you know, having some guidance from someone who's been behind, what was it, 419
yeah.
for different people? I mean, that's pretty incredible to just say, okay, Justin, what's best here? What should I be thinking about? What do I need to consider when I'm thinking about my voice and developing my voice?
Yeah. And that's one of the nice things about having gone so granular on as many people as I have, is that there is no one best way. I mean, I've got my opinions, but what I do is I often pull from other people. And it's like, you know, as I'm writing, if I want to become a little bit more aggressive, I've written for some very militant coaches before. And I'd be like, well, what did they do? And I can kind of pull from that style. If I want to be more lighthearted, I can pull from somebody else. If I have a question about a transition line where you flip from the sales, the story to the pitch, Well, what did this person do? And I just have this big Rolodex of content in my brain that I'm able to pull from and adapt and drop in and change styles.
What an asset. What an asset. So let's talk a little bit about how you got into this. Like, what inspired you to start your writing business? And did you initially start with, yeah, let me dive into voice? Or were you just writing and then saw that voice was a challenge and got a little more narrow in your services?
So I was writing in-house and for a large hotel company. And I was writing for 14 different hotels at the same time. And I didn't realize how easy it was for me to do this until I saw a person named Abby Woodcock, and she taught a course over like how to measure voice. And I was floored. Abby since become a partner of mine, and I now teach the course with her, which is where I really dove into it. But when I was working in-house, being able to figure out exactly how to change between all the different brands and what the vocabulary had to go up and down, what the cadence, what needed to change. That's how I was able to do it so quickly and so easily. And I was very comfortable doing that. But also working in-house, I'd been doing marketing for years. And I found that I was pretty much on a three-year cycle where every 3 years there would be some sort of business change and I would get laid off or transferred or scared. So
yeah.
It was really consistent every 3 years for probably about 15. And it was coming up on the 3-year mark. And sure enough, layoffs were coming. The new management was coming in. And I was like, you know, this just, I'm never going to be safe. And I had been talking about voice on some blog posts, and I had done some different projects. And all of a sudden an agency reached out to me and said, hey, we've got a lot of business. Would you be interested in, and we need help, would you be interested in coming over to us? And I was at this point of feeling really uncomfortable working for anyone else. And I said, you know what? I won't, but I will start my business and you can be my client. And they said, okay. So that's when, how Pretty Fly Copy was started.
Ballsy. That is ballsy. But I do think at some point there's a moment where you're like, I'm done. I'm done with this and I'm going to do it my own way.
Yeah.
And so they hired you.
They did. And that's where I wrote for a lot of people. A lot of them were their clients. And I was writing Facebook ads and emails for tons and tons of different solo entrepreneurs. And it was great because the work just came to me. I would just open up a document every day and there would be tons of different projects. I would go down the list and just... I was in what some people call the shut up and let me write phase, where I just loved it. And I was able to use those voice skills that I had, the mirroring skills, to sound like multiple different people. And I want to say that it was well over 300 people that I had written for there. And I didn't realize that that's actually what was making me so very good at voice. And then I started, like, I thought that I was getting really good at Facebook ads and emails. I thought that that was going to be my superpower. But when I told people that I'd written for over 300 people in 2 years, their jaws dropped. I'm like, well, how? And I was like, oh, it was easy. I just, you know, measured the words, the tone, and the frequency. And they're like, what? I was like, well, that's my framework. It's the Brand Ventriloquist framework. It's WTF. So WTF is your voice. So that was me playing with the Codex, the framework that Abby Woodcock had taught me, vocabulary, tone, and cadence. I just made it more playful. I went with words, tone, and frequency. And so WTF is your voice. I started talking about that. I called it brand ventriloquism and realized that rather than being very good at Facebook ads and emails, I was really good at voice. And that's sort of what drew people to me, started talking about that. And that's definitely what the biggest change in my business was, finding something that I was really passionate about and just loved to talk about and had a process for.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it sounds like you had a gift from the very beginning, because even writing for 14 different hotels is not easy. And how do you do that in a way where each hotel sounds different and you can compel people to take action on the page? I mean, talk about sometimes a little bit boring, and I mean that in the nicest possible way, but if you go on hotels' websites, anytime it's not that interesting.
True. I'm not going to argue with you on that.
Yeah. So
but yeah, it wasn't until like 5 years in that I realized that voice was my superpower. I thought that, like, you know, being witty or good writing or just knowing different grammar and punctuation rules and knowing all that stuff. I thought that that was what made me a good writer, but it wasn't until I realized that voice was the connecting theme that I really figured out what to do with it.
Wow, that's really incredible. And, you know, you do have this workshop called Write More Personality-er. I have to say it slow so I don't mess that up. So can you tell us a little more about that and how that fits into the business and who's a good fit for that workshop?
Sure. That is just a silly little writing course that I have a ton of fun with. That is me taking all of those little nuances that I learned along the way from writing from so many different people and finding different styles and be like, wow, this is like the way that they format is really interesting. I'm going to take that. The way that this person uses passive voice, which is like copywriting 101, that's a no-no. But then I found like, you know what? There's actually a very good time to use passive voice and when and where to break the rules. And just all the little things that people do wrong that turn out being very right that I've documented and put down into a little course that you can binge in an hour and a half and implement immediately.
Gosh, I just love when a course is so, you get the skill set or you get the learning so fast. Like, it's not like, let me spend 8 weeks on this course. Like, I want to be able to implement right away what I learn.
Each lesson is about like 3 minutes long. Some are even shorter than that. And there's a checklist that comes with it too. So it's just made to take what you like and ignore what you don't, you know, just kind of punch up your style.
That's awesome. So anyone who is writing for the business, whether it is a team member or if it's a personal brand, it's the business owner, could take this workshop and just inject a little more personality and maybe connect a little better emotionally with their prospects and readers.
Yeah, it gives you permission to have a little bit more fun with your writing.
I think that's really great, especially sometimes we can take ourselves a little too seriously because we feel like that's what the audience needs to hear, when often they're more attracted to something that's a little bit more polarizing or a little bit more extreme on one side of the spectrum or another.
Yeah. And this isn't just based off of copywriting techniques and grammar rules, but it's also based off of probably like at this point, 3 decades of studying comedians and the quick hit storytelling that they use. So it teaches you ways to make the sentences more powerful, more punchier, add a little bit more pop to it, and really just kind of learn a new set of rules to follow for writing on the internet.
Do you think your bio that I read at the beginning of this podcast is a good example of that?
I think so. It's definitely written in my style, kind of short, punchy, and there's a framework behind that. And, you know, we talk about different things that the structures behind sentences and, you know, adding more power to it. So yeah, I employed a lot of that stuff as I wrote the bio.
Yeah. I thought your bio was standout. I've seen a lot of bios. I've seen a lot of clients' bios and written my own bios. And I just thought it was really compelling and interesting and had just the right amount of personality, but I really also a lot of social proof. So if anyone's listening and wondering how they can do what Justin can do for, you know, with just a quick hit, I would go check out his workshop, which is going to be linked in the show notes here.
Thanks so much. That means a whole lot to me.
Yeah. So Justin, let's talk a little bit about how you market yourself. And I'm guessing that looks a little different now than when you first started, especially because you had that agency client who probably kept you plenty busy. How do you get in front of new clients now? Is it primarily word of mouth? Is your niche so specific that you get referred all the time? What does that look like?
Well, I've accidentally built a couple of different niches. One of the, I'll use air quotes, even though we're on just audio. One of the mistakes that I made was I got so excited about learning new rules about writing and voice and diving into this stuff that I was constantly just talking about that and sharing whatever I found. And that's not something that my clients cared about. It's something that other copywriters cared about. So I accidentally grew a list of copywriters, which is great. They're all my colleagues and I love talking to them and I love nerding out with them. But these aren't the people that were going to buy things from me because they did the same thing. So that's when I started to offer things like Write More Personality or about different copywriting rules. So that was more for the copywriters, which also works for really just anyone that wants to have more fun with the writing. And that's when I started teaching with Abby Woodcock with her voice training course, where I teach writers how to create voice guides. As far as selling voice guides, that's a totally different niche. That's the industry experts and the small and medium-sized businesses. A lot of that comes through referrals and word of mouth. That's my best source. So the fact is, like, I'm talking about voice so much, and a lot of copywriters will have a project and they'll get asked about a voice guide and they'll be like, well, I don't do those, but Justin does. So I might get brought into the project that way. And also, you know, when I had Amy Porterfield, she passed me around to Stu McLaren, who's introduced me to people in his mastermind. So they do good work and really just become a good resource for people. You tend to get passed around.
Yeah. So what I hear is that both arms of the business feed each other. And, you know, one of our first guests on this podcast, Sarah Loretta, she was a graphic designer serving nonprofits. And she said, like, when she first started, I kept reading that, oh, you got to be on Pinterest, you got to be on social media, you got to be in Facebook groups, whatever. And she said, lo and behold, like, none of my target clients are on social media. There's a faster, more direct path to them. But she also accidentally built this audience of graphic designers who loved what she did. And so she serves them in different ways. And it's so interesting sometimes how things evolve based on experiments that you're running or directions you're taking because of a passion. And then you end up building almost like another revenue stream.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was talking about this in one of my emails about a year ago. I almost gave up voice guides because I couldn't sell them. And I thought that nobody wanted them. And it's because I was trying to sell them to other copywriters on my list. And I sold zero. And then I was talking about it to some higher end copywriters. And they're like, wait, my client needs this. And they introduced me. And that's how I landed, you know, Amy Porterfield, through a connection, through another writer that had that connection. So it wasn't that my clients, like, I thought that they were, that there was literally no demand for this at all and was ready to abandon it. And it was just that I was talking to clients.
That makes sense. And, you know, there may be some other entry points besides writers. Like, I know I reached out to you to work on a mutual client together, and that didn't pan out for a couple of reasons, but I've passed your name around a number of times because I'm tend to be on the, on the hiring side of let's bring on new writers. And then I'm also on the side of, oh, the voice doesn't match. Oh, there's 10,000 revisions. Oh, you know, is this really the right hire? And I'm like, yeah, they're the right hire. You just need a little more structure in place around the voice guide. So I think there's a lot of freelancers and other service providers who share your client base and don't serve them in the same way you do. And I think that's what you've experienced with copywriting, other copywriters. Yeah,
for sure. And also thank you for passing my name around.
Oh, you're welcome. So mainly word of mouth for the voice guides. You also have this audience of copywriters. Do you find a lot of copywriters want to learn how to create a voice guide, or they'd rather just refer you because you're the guy?
Little column A, little column B.
Yeah.
Voice guides are a lot of work. They take me several weeks to do. They take a lot of brain power. And certain people are okay adding that to their plate. Other people are not. Other people are like, you know what? I'm really good at writing sales pages. I'm really good at writing emails. This is my lane. This is where I want to stay with. I'd rather just bring Justin on board. Other people want to learn it. So it's a skill that and a service that they can now offer as part of their portfolio. So it really just depends on the level of the writer and just personal interest.
Yeah. Yeah. And you could still add this to your portfolio as an option, but it may just be a lightweight version of what you do.
Yes. A lot of people do that.
Yeah. Okay. So let's say someone's interested in working with you to create their own brand voice guide. How do you evaluate whether they're the right fit for your services? I think I know the answer to this question because I went through this experience myself, but I'd love for the listeners to hear what that's like.
Well, I always get on a phone call with them. I think that is mandatory. Because I have different levels and there are some people that just want the light level and that's fine. I have worked with some people that weren't even ready for the light level. And, you know, I let them know, I was like, you know what? We're not there yet. We're almost there, but let's circle back. There are certain people that want the light level, but really need the medium level. So there's, there's just a difference of budgets. There's the amount of depth that is necessary. It really depends on where they are in their business. And it just comes down to, it also has to be a good fit, because I'm going to be like elbow deep in their copy for 3 to 5 weeks. And I have to be sure that it's something that I want to do as well. So there's a little bit of that. But really, for the most part, it's a 15 to 30 minute phone call, just to be sure that everything is aligned and that we are going to be a good fit for each other. I don't like just sort of sending out a blank proposal or letting people buy without going through the vetting process. I tried that before. It did not work out well. So really, because the skill is so personal, it's essentially required that that we get on a call.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good distinction for anyone who's listening, is if you have a really high touch service, a little extra vetting can make for a better outcome with the client and maybe be more enjoyable for you as a service provider.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'll just say, you do such a good job explaining what you do on your website. I imagine that by the time someone books a call with you, they're pretty much sold or have better questions because they've already read through everything that you've shared on the site.
Thanks. That means a lot. And for the most part. And it's funny that you say that, because there are times that people book a call and they gotta get on and be like, I don't really know what you do. And like that right away says that this isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Like they didn't take the time. They're not as vested in the processes I need them to be. And now this is very hands-off for them, but they at least have to read the paper. So yeah, now that I think about that, I don't think I've ever had a client come through that hasn't read the page.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think for listeners, you know, sometimes web copy, I find, if you're not a writer, gets overlooked, and we forget some of the qualification that just your copy on the web page can do in order to make sure someone's a right fit for you and also for them. Because if they read your copy and they're like, oh, I don't really understand this, my business doesn't really need this, then it's better for both of you that they don't hop on a call, right? So I just think you do such a good job with this. And for anyone who's listening, make sure to check out Justin's website in the show note link so you can look at why he does such a good job at this and really see a stellar example.
Thanks.
And then last but not least, Justin, you send out really great emails.
Oh.
And I assume this is how you stay in touch with your audience, how you nurture some of your leads. It may be mainly your copywriting audience, I'm not sure, but to me, that seems like the way that you stay in touch with people.
For sure. I don't love being on social. I also don't love playing into algorithms. And like, I was on LinkedIn for a while and you just had to post every single day. Otherwise, they would come along and just slap you and no one would see your stuff. And I just didn't like playing in other people's playgrounds where the rules were arbitrary. So emails where I can write without any lengths, limitations on lengths or images or really the content, and have the biggest reach, be the most personal, and really connect with people on a much deeper level. And also they can reply in private. Some people don't like to reply on social in public. And yes. I get that. I'm one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and plus I'm a writer. I just like to write. So I show by doing. And it just works out well for me.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's another learning lesson there, is oftentimes we're hearing that there's one way to be in front of your audience, have to be on Instagram, have to be on TikTok, have to be on Clubhouse or whatever the latest and greatest social media platform is, or, you know, shiny hack. And I think there's something that you're doing about playing to your strengths and where you enjoy playing that I think is a good takeaway if you're listening to this episode.
Yeah. If you don't like being on Facebook, then don't be on Facebook. If you love it, then stay there. By all means, you can wrap it into your business. But for me, it just felt inauthentic. And I didn't like having to balance between, do I post a picture of my kids or do I post something about my business? And it was disconnected and a little bit all over the place. And it's just like, you know what? I'm just not going to talk about my business on social anymore. And I really cut back tremendously. And it has had very little effect on my business. Most of it's coming.
Isn't that funny how that works? So, Justin, if you had to give one piece of advice to another business owner who's a little bit earlier on than you and they're growing their business and they don't necessarily have to be a copywriter, what would that piece of advice be?
Does it have to be about?
It can be whatever you want.
All right. I just started there. So it's not necessarily a business or marketing answer, but one of the biggest reasons for some of the success that I've had and the feedback that's come back to me is by following the advice of a person's a person, no matter how small. And by treating everyone with respect and giving them personal attention and, you know, not being mean to the gatekeepers and the receptionists and the assistants, and by treating them with the same respect that I treat the, you know, the person that they're working with, has been a major factor in my career. It's what's gotten me access to higher level people, just by being genuinely nice to people. That's what I kind of live by. It's kind of my motto. And I think that that's one of the best lessons that I've ever come across.
I think that's great advice. And I love it when it's not marketing related, because I think in some ways that is a marketing strategy, because presumably it's brought new work your way. So I think that's fabulous. And I really appreciate you sharing the behind the scenes of your business and what you do. Where can our listeners go to learn more about your business and your services?
So the easiest place to find me is at prettyflycopy.com. And I'm on most of social media. I'm not very active, but I am on most social media through at prettyflycopy. And if you want to learn more about my voice process and get some free tools to help you measure the words, tone, and frequency of your voice, you can go to prettyflycopy.com/voice, and there's a free download.
Beautiful. So that will be linked in the show notes. Make sure to check those out. Thank you, Justin, for all your time today.
Thank you.
Heck yeah. You just finished another episode of the Marketing That Generates podcast. I hope you found a few takeaways that you can put into action right away. If you want more on today's episode, head over to marketingthatgenerates.com for show notes, links, bonus resources, and related episodes. Plus, if you're looking to connect with other amazing business owners just like you, be sure to join my free community. You can get access at marketingthatgenerates.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll meet you back here next week.